Bobbig.
So, hi everyone. This is a re-recording of my talk that I wanted to give for BobConf. We had a couple of technical issues, and so I decided to do a re-recording so we can actually have the talk as it was intended. So yeah, this is Darks because Git won. Admittedly, that's a little bit clickbaity, but it's meant to be a bit tongue-in-cheek, so bear with me there. So yeah, first of all, who am I? I'm Raichu. I've been in the Haskell community for around 10 years now. Been writing software for programming for 30 years. Lots of C++, lots of Java. But 10 years ago, I found this programming language called Haskell, which I enjoy quite a lot, and been using it for lots of stuff since then. I'm the author of various open source projects. Some of you might probably know there is this project called Haskell Vim, which is a plugin for Vim, does syntax highlighting and indentation and stuff like that. And for some reason, it has become quite popular. And yeah, people seem to be enjoying it. I'm speaking regularly at conferences. So if you Google Raichu on YouTube, you will find a couple of talks that I've done over the years. And I'm also co-founder of a hackspace in Bielefeld, which is called Acme Labs. So hackspaces are these loose clubhouses, if you want to, like where people meet and do projects and stuff, art and beauty, software projects, whatever comes to mind. And I'm also the co-founder and CTO of Antai in Bielefeld. We are software consultants. We are writing software for companies that want to have certain problems solved, and we deliver that. Well, at least that's the intention. Maybe you've heard of us. We've also did the advent of Haskell 2020. We picked up that work, and I think it was quite popular, and a lot of people enjoyed that. So yeah, it produced a couple of interesting blog posts, so you can still read those up at advent.haskell.com. So yeah, I said the talk is a little bit clickbaity, so I want to talk about what this talk is not. So this talk is not like Git bad, Darks good. I don't want to convince you to switch everything to Darks and abandon Git. That's not the idea. I just want to present an alternative to what is basically the mainstream at the moment, because I think Darks is a very interesting version control system because it does things absolutely in a different way. Like it's not just a different UI for the same concept. It does things conceptually very different. This talk is also not a transition guide. I can't just take a workflow and then transform that into like a Git workflow and then transform that into Darks. Workflows grow organically. This talk will only give you hints at what Darks can do, and maybe that fits your workflow, maybe it doesn't. So you will have to find ways to make that work for you if you're interested in that. So, okay, let's get started. Well, no, not really. First, we got to talk a little bit about the Darks image, sorry. When you have heard about Darks, there are a couple of things that are quite common, like conceptions of the system. Some people consider it to be dead. I can assure you it's not. Just recently, we had a major release, 2.16, and we're now at version 2.16.3. So it's very active. It's still being developed by very, very clever people. And yeah, it's alive and kicking. Another thing that I hear quite a lot is that people complain that it's slow. And I don't think that statement doesn't necessarily make sense on its own, because when you say something is slow, you have to compare it to something. And when you compare it to Git, it's certainly slow. Git is pretty much built around the idea that it has to be optimized. For every in every nook and cranny, there is optimizations and stuff like that. So to me personally, it really isn't that big of a deal if an operation just takes 500 milliseconds versus 20 milliseconds. I mean, that might be an issue for you, but with most of the projects that I'm working on, this is not the issue. Like, the version control system is not the bottleneck. The bottleneck is how you use it and what kind of workflows it enables me to do. And to me, that's way more important than like shaving off like 3 seconds from my push. Another thing that I hear quite a lot is like the exponential merge problem. People talk about that a lot on forums and communication platforms. And that is something that has been an issue with earlier versions of Darks, where it has been quite prominent, but the Darks people really worked out this issue quite a lot. So the issue is that when you're merging things, you can run into exponential runtime, which is certainly not something that you would desire. And the Darks people have put a lot of work into finding all those edge cases and fixing them and making the algorithm better and the performance way better. And personally, I've been using Darks for years and I never encountered that problem. There might be still, I mean, there's certainly still places where these edge conditions can happen, but they are exceptionally rare. And that brings me back to the idea that that Darks is dead. They are working on a new patch theory that eliminates all those. I mean, the goal is to eliminate all those edge cases and make it more performant and, yeah, grow the system. So that's very interesting ongoing work at the moment. And I'm going to link you to the paper that lies the foundation for that. So this is my favorite. Everyone knows how to use Git. What does that mean? Whenever I hear that, I think of that. And please don't get me wrong. You can do the same things with Darks and any other version control system. But to me, the notion you know how to use something is pretty much like when you say in programming language, I know the syntax of a programming language. What's more important is that you can produce something meaningful with that programming language. And to me, it's the same thing with version control. Yes, you can use the version control. You can create patches, you can push stuff. But to me, the most important thing is how to build meaningful patches, especially like in a working context. And I know that's a hard thing if you're doing a prototype and stuff like that. And I admit that I'm sometimes guilty of doing just that, especially in a prototype situation where we're not 100% sure what the end result is going to be. So yeah, to me, the idea is that a version control system has to really give you something back when you are crafting patches in a meaningful way. You have to be able to use them as good as possible. And Darks pretty much does that. And I hope I can illustrate that later in the demo for you. So now, yeah, let's get, now we're really getting started. So what's the difference anyway? From the outside looking in, it might look like Darks is just another version control system with a slightly different UI, and underneath everything works just like completely the same. And this is basically the point where you start to differentiate between a snapshot-based version control, something like Git or Mercurial, and a patch-based version control. And this notion might be a little bit weird because it focuses around patches. What does that mean? I will show you in the demo. But first of all, let's look at a situation where we have four characters here. We have Alice, we have Bob, we have Charlie and Eve. And Alice and Bob, they both have patches A. And Charlie has been developing patch B, which is a new feature or whatever, documentation, choose whatever you want. And Eve has also been working on a patch C. So as it turns out, Alice and Charlie are working closely together. They are in a team together, but at the moment they're not in the same office. They have to work remotely. There are different situations where that might occur, like a global pandemic. But yeah, so as it turns out, those two are communicating on a regular basis. So Alice knows about Charlie's patch and she's eager to try it and apply it to her repository. So what she does is she basically pulls this patch. A couple of minutes later, she hears about Eve's patch, and because she's not working in the same team, they're not communicating frequently, but now she hears about it and she thinks, oh, that's actually something that I want to pull in as well, because the work that I'm currently doing would very much benefit from that. And now she pulls that in. On the other side of the city or planet, Bob suddenly realizes that Eve, who he's working closely together with, has written patch C. And he's like, oh, great, I've been waiting for that patch for a long time, and pulls that in. Now he has pulled that patch and you can now see Alice has ABC, and you can maybe sense that something interesting is going on here. And he has Bob has patches A and C. And a couple of minutes later, he hears about Charlie's patch and thinks, oh, I got to pull that in as well. So now he pulled that in. And now you can see that Alice's repository has the order of patches in which she pulled those in. She has A, B, and C. And Bob has A, C, and B. So how do their repositories look like now? So with Git, we would have something like this, some kind of this history. So we start at a common starting point. Alice pulls in Charlie's feature, she pulls in Eve's feature, and then she merges. And what you can see here is that these commits, these last commits where the head of the Git repo is, those differ. Because with Charlie's and Eve's patches, they diverged from that common starting point. And now we have to bring those back together. And these merge commits are created by the people who have pulled in the patches. It's not like a fast forward, we have to merge something. And now what's happening is that basically when you are pulling in patches in a different order, things get very different. So it's like, let's say you are there and you see a banana and you see an apple, and you take the apple and you take the banana, and you would certainly end up with a different result if you would take the banana first and the apple. So this is something that happens in version control quite a lot. But now I want to show you how Darks essentially deals with the same situation here. So yeah, it's demo time. Hopefully this is going to work out. So I'm going to start with a clean slate here. There's nothing there. And I'm going to make a repository Alice. And go to Alice's repository. And I'm going to show you how Darks works here. I'm on my remote machine at the moment. So yeah, I've initialized that repository. You can see this underscore Darks folder is where Darks is doing all the bookkeeping. And now we're going to write a little file. And I want to apologize for the color scheme here. Let's do something like that. So this is the file. And we're going to add that to the repo. And this file is now being tracked. And we want to record our initial patch. Initial record, yeah. And now you can see the Darks workflow is like super interactive. Yes. What changes do we want to record? Yes, we have added a file, we have added the content. So Darks is basically prompting us of what we want to do, which is like super helpful if you want to do more complex operations. So if we want to take a look at the repository now, we can see that we have recorded a patch. So now let's just create all those repositories that we have had before. We've created Bob, we create Charlie, and we create Eve. So all these repositories are now in the same state. So let's go to Charlie first, and build Charlie's patch here. And what Charlie basically does is something like super simple. It's not a keyboard, I know, so it's a little bit weird. we just add a to the top of the file. And now we can ask Dart what's new. And it says, okay, at line one, we are going to add the character A. So let's record that. Yes, yes, I'll record that. This is Charlie. And let's do the same thing with Eve. So what Eve is doing, she's essentially just going to add B to the end of the file. Yes, we're going to add that. And this is Eve. So let's go back to Alice and reproduce the workflow that we just had. So Alice is going to pull from Charlie first. So yeah. And now we can look at the file. Excuse me. We can see the patch has been applied. So we do the same thing to Eve. And we can see those two files have been merged. So yeah, if we look at the history, we can now see we've pulled from Charlie first, then we pulled from Eve. And what's important here is those hashes. Those hashes are essentially the identity of what's going on here. So of the identity of the patch, to be more precise. So let's go to Bob and pull. We do that the other way around. The first thing is we pull from Eve because that's who Charlie's been working with. And we pull that patch. And let's take a look at that. So let's look at those things side by side. Let's go into Alice's repository and do a Dart's log here. And here you can see, so this is what Charlie is seeing. That what Bob is seeing. And you can see that even though, so this, just to be precise here, what's happening here is a cherry pick. Dart is basically constantly doing cherry picks and merging. And even though I've cherry picked this patch from Charlie's repository, from Eve's repository, they actually have the same identity, the same hash, even though they have been pulled in different orders, they've been cherry-picked in different orders. So what Dart does is that it doesn't change a patch identity when it does cherry-picking, which is like immensely neat, I think. So let's do the same thing with Charlie. Yes, yes. And as you can see, it's the same thing. Can even do something like we can go from that repository and here test, to the test repository to Dart's. And it just to demonstrate the cherry picking property here, if we pull from, let's say Alice, she's got all the patches. Yes, I wanna take the initial record. Do I wanna take Charlie's? No, but I wanna take Eve's. Look at that. Let's first look at the file. Ah, come on. Yeah, and now you can see, even though I've cherry picked the B patch and left the A patch behind, I can still end up with result, and this thing, this patch, this has still the same identity. So how can we see that to repositories have the same state? That's the important part. You can look at show repo. And here's this thing which is called the weak hash. And the weak hash is computed about the set of all patches that are inside of that repository. And if we do the same thing to Bob, we can see those weak hashes, they line up. They have the same state. Yeah. This is how the workflow is different. So something else which I find kind of nice is that Dart can essentially produce GraphVis output, and I'm usually using different tools there. But here you can see what's actually happening. Like these two patches, they don't, even though they, even in a situation where you're in the same repository and recording those two patches yourself, Darts can figure out that they do not actually depend on each other. So this, the patch that Charlie wrote, which essentially just added A to the file, doesn't, it, the only thing that it depends on is that the initial record is there. It's the same thing with Eve's change that just added something else to the file. So now we can just pick everything, pick and choose. And this becomes even more interesting if we have way more patches with way more features in the repository. So we can pick and choose all the different things that we want, and we can look at how they interact with each other. And of course, we can also state dependencies directly, like explicitly say, I want to depend on that patch. But I'm not going to show that here. So yeah, Docs basically just treats a repository as a set of patches. And I mean set in a mathematical sense, like the order of the patches, the elements, that doesn't matter. If I have a set BA and AB, it's the same set. The order isn't important. So let's talk a little bit how Darts does that. Let's talk about patch theory. So we Haskellers, we all like our theory a lot. And yeah, patch theory, just let me get this straight. You don't need to know the theory to actually enjoy or be able to work with Darts. It's the same thing. You don't have to know category theory to know Haskell. Basically, if you would go to a category theorist and explain them from a Haskell perspective what a monad is, they would say it's not a monad. This is just a very special case that you're talking about. So even the theory that we're using in Haskell is not exactly like the real deal. And there are very passionate discussions. So I just want to make sure that you know that even though the theory is like maybe intellectually stimulating, it's not like mandatory. So if we're talking about patch theory, let's talk about what a patch is. So a patch, basically, patch A takes a repository from some state O to state A. That's what it does. So like adding a file or adding content to a file. That's pretty simple. If we have two patches, and patch A takes a repository from O to A, and patch B takes it from A to B, we can compose them. We're Haskellers, that's what we like. We compose things all the time, and so does patch theory. So we can like sequence those patches up. We also want to be able to invert a patch. So we want to take changes back. So if we added a line, we want to get rid of that line. So for every patch, there should be an inverse. So if we have a patch A that goes from O to A, O inverted should go from A to O. So we can go back there. And we should be able to commute patches. So this is a little bit more tricky, and I apologize for the notation. But this is important to understand how Docs is basically doing what I just showed you. So if I have patch A and B, and they do not depend on each other, so what does that mean? If, let's say, patch A adds a file and patch B edits the content of that file, of course we can't swap around those operations. That doesn't work. You can't edit the content of a file if it hasn't been added before. But let's say we're talking about the situation that we just had before. Like we have a file and patch A adds something to the top of the file and patch B adds something to the bottom of the file. So line one or maybe something like maybe line five, that's where patch B operates. So essentially we could swap those operations around. And so what these subscripts mean is that it's not essentially the patches are not fundamentally the same, they are a little bit different. Like say this patch adds something to line one and this adds something to line six. If we swap those around, for patch B, everything shifts up a line. So now this adds to line five and this still adds to line one, even though the operations are basically equivalent. So this is what I mean by that notation. A is basically equivalent to A1 and B is equivalent to B1. They do the same thing. They don't essentially do the same operations, like adding this one adds to line six and this one adds to line five, even though they are representing the same change. And what's important is that the context that we end up in, like B and A1, they are still the same. They are identical, even though we switch them around. So how does a merge work then? So a merge is basically, let's take those two patches and bring them together. So how will we do that? We can't just concatenate C to B. We can't just put that on there because it goes from A to C. And we are now in a repository that has in state B. So what, with all the rules that we have, with all the mechanisms that we have, we can now do a merge. We can say, okay, first we invert B, we're back in state A, then we can apply C. So now we still have the information of B in there, even though it has been reverted, but the information is still there. We can commute B and C, and then we end up with C1 and B1. And then what we can do, we can just throw away C1, B1, and then we have a merge. We ended up with the state that we wanted. We pulled in all those patches and voila. So this is a nice thing. We can now reason algebraically about patches, which I think is really exciting to me. And another thing that's super exciting to me is this merging symmetric. So it doesn't matter in which order I'm pulling in those patches. So the good thing about this is, so we first started using darks in our hackspace, and hackspaces are like very loose groups of hackers working together, and you don't necessarily, all of them are like on a single central repository, like everyone picks and pulls and pushes to everyone else. And in this situation, it's like super useful if you don't have to maintain the same order. We can work together. We have a very loose workflow there, and we can just pull out things together the way we want to, and like neglect patches and take the ones that we seem fit for our current situation. So that's pretty neat. I enjoy that quite a lot. So what applications does that have? How do we apply that? And to me, I have a Wayland compositor project, which is like 20,000 lines of C code, so it's a reasonably large project. And what I do, I have three repositories. And what I essentially do is I use this kind of workflow, this model, or what Darks enables me to do immense. I use that quite a lot. So I have a current repository where I pull all the patches in, all the work happens there. And if I have a feature, a new feature that is not really breaking any of the workflows or that doesn't introduce any breaking changes, I pull that into the stable repository. And you can see I highlighted all the part of the version numbers in red that basically are the number that I'm going to increase with that release. And whenever there's a new feature that doesn't break functionality, I can pull that over to stable. And whenever I just have a bug fix that doesn't introduce any new features, I can pull that over to release. And this is essentially the workflow that we're using at my company. It has proven to be very solid. And I was able to do some very, very exciting, to me, very, very fluent and fun release engineering, like way more. I enjoy that way more than I did with Git, but that's a personal preference. So yeah, that is something that we enjoy quite a lot. So another thing is that PassVale is an open source project that we are going to open source within the next few days. And it's essentially like a password manager, something like a password store. Password store is using Git underneath, and we thought, well, the model of Dars is essentially super neat if you have a very distributed password manager. So lots of people working on lots of different passwords, and you constantly have to merge all those states. And since Dars is like very sophisticated with merging, we thought that would be like a very interesting foundation for a password manager. And we also have model things like trust and all sorts of things. So if you know a password and I give a password to someone else, we can use PassVale to PassVale to transfer that password, so we don't have to use insecure channels like post-its or post it on a chat or use email or something like that. So we can use the password manager to transfer our passwords to other people and work together with them. So this is also something that has proved to be quite beneficial, especially in a very distributed situations in which we are at the moment. So yeah, tooling. So if you are using Git, tooling is great, of course. There's a lot of tooling. A lot of people use it. A lot of people write really great tools. And so we are kind of like stuck in the situation where we have to build a lot of stuff ourselves, which is fun, but it's also work. And yeah, this is something that we've been doing for the last few months. So what I did, I built something that's called DocScutter, which is a plugin for NeoVim. It's written in Lua. So it's a plugin for NeoVim that essentially does the things GitGutter does. So it shows us changes. We can look at the changes that we can look at different hungs in a file. We can jump to hungs. We can, we can essentially like grab through our project and figure out where are the changes and what has been changed. So that helps me a lot with when I'm working on a rather large code base and want to craft all my patches together and like this goes in that patch and this goes in there. So this is like very helpful. And another thing that I have is a Dart's fish prompt. So if you are using the fish, the friendly interactive shell, that's a prompt that is very useful. So you can see, okay, this repository has changed. There have been added files, untracked files and stuff like that. So everything you know from Git prompt. And something else that we've been working on is called Dart's Lab, which is our, we are using that internally at the moment, but we didn't open source it. But we're planning to, we're going to open source it. It's a hosting platform, essentially, that we're using to manage our repositories. And it, at the moment, it's like completely command line based, which some of you might actually enjoy, and I enjoy it quite a lot. You know, everything you need is just Darks and SSH, and it works on all those machines. And to us, it's great. We don't need a web interface. We can manage all our privileges and all our rights management is all done on the command line, and that's actually rather exciting, and we are looking forward to open source that to you. So yeah, that pretty much brings us to the end. So I have a couple of resources that you might find interesting. If you really want to learn Darks, I have written a little book, a Darks book, because I didn't like the documentation that was out there, and I thought, yeah, writing a book would be a good idea. It's basically hosted at our Hackspace, because I wrote it for the Hackspace initially. We're using it there, and I thought if we are going to use it, there has to be decent documentation. And it's very simple. It's like baby's first version control system. It's not like super sophisticated stuff. You can start right off the bat if you've never used a version control system before. That works. You can start with a book. And here is the paper that I've been talking about. So this is like supposedly the foundation for the new patch theory that people have been working on. And there's an experimental, you can experiment that with the latest major release of Darks. Darks version 3 is an option, but it's still experimental. So please don't use that for critical code. Yeah, that's about it. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Twitter, Raichu, and you can drop me an email at raichu@anti.de. So yeah, hope you enjoyed that. If you have any questions, just drop me an email or hit me up on chat. Yeah, thanks. Bye.